focus in here on verse 9. And kind of be ready, because we're going to bounce around in the Bible. So have your Bible open, have your outline there, and we're going to bounce around and look at some different scriptures as we go along here today. So I'm kind of preparing you for that. So you got your outline to go along, and then we're going to be ready to turn our Bible's pages around. In verse 9, like I said, it's a starting point for us this morning, and the topic is grace. I don't know if we could have a better topic than grace, the grace of God. But in verse 9, God says to Paul, to the Apostle Paul, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And if you just think about that statement, if you just let that dwell with you, God says to you that my grace is sufficient to you, probably the most important statement in the Bible for a believer. That God says the grace of God, the divine favor of God, the divine blessing of God, how we're going to look at it today, is enough. It's sufficient for all that you would need to do, sufficient for all that you would need. It's Christ, it's in Christ, it's God, it's His grace. In the context, what God is saying to Paul here is in his suffering. In his trying to hold on, his trying to go on in the midst of difficulties, of persecutions, and challenges, and pain and suffering. That's the context of what God tells Paul this at, that his grace is sufficient. God tells Paul that the grace of God is enough to carry you through the pain. It's enough to carry you through the trial, through the difficulty, through the challenge, through whatever you're going through. The grace of God that you received in Jesus Christ is enough. It's sufficient. God could change everything. God could take it away. Paul is appealing to God to do something here because of this pain, this thorn in the flesh that he's having a hard time with. He prays to him three times. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you in whatever circumstance you're in." That is one of the most important things for a believer in Christ to understand and know. That God hasn't left it hanging. God hasn't said, "Well, if you just kind of do some things, it will be enough." God has said that through salvation in Jesus Christ, His grace is sufficient enough for whatever you go through in that life. That's good enough. We ought to just go home, huh? I mean, because if we just dwelled on that, right? That the God of the universe, that the God that created everything, that the God that saved you, that the God that rescued you, delivered you from the domain of darkness, that God that entered the world through His Son and gave His life on the cross and died to pay the penalty of your sin, said that whatever in this life is, my grace is enough. That's almost enough to go home. I'm serious. Because it's absolutely incredible. Now, there's some things that we're going to learn about God's grace, that we're going to learn about the divine favor of God in our life, but that's what's going to be so important for us is the foundation enough to that in our life, when we're looking at the things that we got going on and petitioning God and coming to Him, God is not limited by what He's already done in your life. It's enough. Christ is enough. We could say it in that way. Now, you remember last week, our focus was through this passage that God was using our suffering to humble us, to draw us to Himself, to display His grace in and through our lives as His power works in us. That's what we looked at last week. So God is using the suffering in a great and mighty way. So for today, I want to focus on grace. I didn't get to focus on it much. Actually, I listened to last week's message. When I got to the God wants to display His grace, I talked for 4 minutes. I'm going to talk about 30, 35 minutes about grace today. Because it needs a little more than four, doesn't it? But it's an incredible thing that God is wanting us to see here. We want to be encouraged today, don't you? I want to be encouraged by God's word. I want to be strengthened by God's word and His truth. Don't we all in that way? We want to learn something from God's word, even the young ones here today, right, Nick? We want to learn something about God today, right? We want to learn something about what God has said and what He has promised and what He's doing. This is good for all of us to understand the grace of God. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to focus in on our attention on this statement of God, "My grace is sufficient for you." Look at verse 9. Now, I'm just picking it right out of the middle of the context, but look at verse 9. Here's what 2 Corinthians 12:9 says. He says, "And He said to me," that's the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." And here's Paul's response. "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Incredible statement, but we're going to focus in here. It says grace and power are at work in and through your life, Paul, and it's sufficient for you. And then Paul says, "Well, then that's what I want. That's what I want. I want grace and power at work in through my life." So I'll gladly just boast about my weakness. Most gladly, that's what I want. So let's dig into grace. You got your outlines ready? You got your Bibles ready? We're going to look around a little bit here. Grace, a magnificent word. Tom gave us a little bit of it today. 155 times in the New Testament, the word grace is used. It's everywhere all throughout the Testament. And it needs to be. For everything's a grace. It needs to be all the way through the New Testament and everything. The word grace, charis or charis in the Greek language, it basically means this. I got it in your outline there. Favor bestowed. Favor bestowed. That's what it means. It's a favor bestowed on a person who didn't earn it or deserve it. It's a kindness that's unmerited. That's a good definition. It's grace. It's the grace of God. The terms of its use in the New Testament is God's divine favor bestowed on those who deserve wrath and judgment. Let me read that again. In God, the terms of its use in the New Testament, when it's always talking about grace, the parameters of it, it's God's divine favor bestowed on those who deserve wrath and judgment. Now, who does that include? How many people does that include? Does that include you that deserve divine wrath and judgment, right? So it's a favor bestowed upon those that deserve judgment and wrath of God. That's the essential reality of our salvation, all of it, isn't it? It's the essential reality of our salvation. This, what Pastor Tom shared with us, the guy that was in the Mormon religion and all the works and all that, saw the grace of God in the Bible, in the New Testament, and said, wow, the grace of God, the divine favor bestowed through Jesus Christ, faith in him, is all that you need. It's every part of the Christian life. It's a divine favor granted to those who don't deserve it. That's our life. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a divine favor granted to you, and you didn't deserve it. And it's everything that comes with by the grace of God. Because everything, I have it in your outline there, everything that we received is by God's grace. Everything is a divine favor. Everything is a divine blessing. We're going to look at some different kind of things, but everything is to the believer in Christ. It's a grace of God that you can walk and talk and see and act and work and love and hear God and love others and choose not to sin in your life. Because before Christ, you were a slave to sin, and so all you were enslaved to that. And so through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that came to you is a divine favor. It's what the Bible's talking about. It's what the New Testament is talking about. Because everything that we have received is by the grace of God. It's undeserved generosity from God, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? Help me, isn't it an undeserved generosity of God? The grace of God poured out in your life? None of us earned it, right? The Bible says we live by grace. Now, not by the law anymore. We're under grace. We're under the divine favor of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14 and 16. Don't turn there. I'll get you to some other ones. It's one of the most wonderful statements about receiving grace. In verse 14, it says this. Listen to what it says. It says, the Word became flesh, that's Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. He was here. And we saw his glory, and he was full of grace and truth. When you see the glory of Christ, he's full of grace, divine favor, and he's full of truth. And as a Christian, you know, and we know, all of us that know we're believers in Christ, that our life is in Christ, right? And Christ is in us, right? It's all through the New Testament. We're in Christ. And so we're in Christ, Christ's love, because he is love, because Christ loves, we enjoy his love, right? Right? We know that because we're in Christ and Christ loves. We enjoy the love of Christ, right? The love of God, right? It's in us because we're in him. We see it that way, right? When we talk about love, when we talk about God's love, we enjoy it because we're in Christ and we enjoy the love of God. When we're in him, then we enjoy that, right? We talk about that Christ is peace, right? He's the peace of God, right? He is our peace, right? We say that, right? Because we're in him. So we enjoy his peace. And if you look at the scriptures and it talks about that he wants us to have his joy, because we're in Christ, we can have his joy, right? We can have the fullness of Christ's joy. And because he is full of grace, by faith in him, we are full of grace. That's what God wants us to see in the New Testament. We are full of grace. Our lives are overflowing with the grace of God. Now remember, what's the definition? Favor bestowed. our lives are overflowing by the grace of God, with the grace of God. Verse 16 says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, for of his fullness we all have received. Well, when it says in verse 14, he's full of grace and truth, of his fullness that I received. I received through faith in Christ the fullness of grace. The fullness of it, not partially of it, not some of it. The fullness of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The favor bestowed upon those that didn't deserve it through Christ we have received. Grace upon grace, it says. Divine favor upon divine favor. I wrote in here really big. That's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it? It's absolutely incredible if you sit around and think about what God is telling us in the Bible. That when you've put your faith in Christ, trusted in him, you will receive the fullness of Christ, and he's full of grace. You received all the divine favor bestowed upon humans that deserved wrath and judgment. That's what the Bible's teaching about grace. That's what we have received. But grace just isn't a concept. It's not a concept where we think, oh, it's some kind of concept. Grace is a force. You might want to look that in your outline there. It is a power. It's a power that transforms us. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, God transformed you. He delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's a force. Would you say that's a force? That's a powerful force, right? He changed you. He made you a new creation. It's a power that awakens us. It's a power that gives us life. It's a power that sustains us, that saves us, that keeps us, that sanctifies us. This divine favor of grace that we have received through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a power. Look at your outline. Grace is a divine force that God pours out into the lives of his people at all points to grant them all that they need to be all that he desires. It's grace. It's God's divine blessing in your life, that in all points that necessary for your life to live the life that God desires for you to live, God has the grace in your life to do that. You're full of it. You like that saying? But that's what God is teaching about the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ through faith in him that comes upon our life. If you turn your Bibles to Acts 11, let me just give you a little thing here on how the force, the power that was being seen in the book of Acts and how, just to kind of attach it to our mind. And as you turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, I want you to think about in your own life when how you were walking before you knew the Lord, how you were really living your life before you've trusted in Christ, before you surrendered your life to him, before that happened in your life. Some of us, it's a little more determinative when that happened than others, but here's what's happening in Acts 11. Peter is reflecting upon God saving the Gentiles. Really, that's what's happening. He's kind of reflecting upon that. Now listen, because Peter thinks it's maybe only for Jews, but God is speaking to him. Now he's reflecting on that it's for the Gentiles. In fact, in verse 18, God's granting repentance that leads to life to the Gentiles, and Peter's amazed. It says in verse 18, and when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. He's pretty amazed. He's pretty amazed. This is what's happening. This is what's happening in the world. First, it's like, oh, it's in Jerusalem, it's Jews. Then God is showing it. No, this is for all people. This is for all humanity that wants to believe Gentiles would be pagans in the eyes of a Jewish person. Or in the eyes of anybody, really, in that sense. And Peter's amazed. And then what happens in the story, some men come to the city of Antioch, and they begin preaching to the Gentiles. Doesn't matter who they are. It's in the text. You can read it. But they come preaching. They're preaching to the Gentiles. And then a bunch of them are giving their life to Christ. If you think about it, that had to be absolutely incredible. That here, all the Jewish people thought God was for them, and the Messiah was for the Jewish people, and then Christ comes, and then the gospel and people are being saved and they're Jewish people. And then now it's just spreading about it. Anybody that would believe doesn't matter. And so they're preaching to them and a large number believe. And the church in Jerusalem hears about it and they send Barnabas. God, you got to go check that out. Now look at verse 23 in chapter 11. Here's the story, what it says. Then when he arrived, that's Barnabas, and witnessed the grace of God. How do you witness it? He walked in the city and he saw it. He saw people that used to worship this pagan idol and that pagan idol and do this and be drunk in the street and whatever it would be in the world that was going on there in Antioch and all of the horrific, ugly things that go on in the world. And Barnabas came in and he saw and he witnessed the grace of God. People were transformed. That's what it was. People were changed in how they lived. People were just like, wow, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm this. You can see the power of God in your life. How many of you see the power of God in your life? Help me, raise your hand if you do. Because you can witness that it's a force, right? This grace of God. That you've been given ways to love your husband and care for him that you know apart from God you'd never do, right? Come on, ladies that are here today. Men, that you would love your wives like Christ loved the church, right? And you've been empowered to, by the grace of God, to make a choice to act on behalf of God and love them the way that God wants you to love them, right? Is that a grace or did you earn it or you're just good? Is it a grace, guys? How about to teach and raise your kids in the instruction and discipline of the Lord? Is that a grace? How about to love your neighbor? How about to care about your neighbor? How about to not hate your neighbor? Is that a grace? Or was it, it's just in you. I'm a good guy. I came up rosy, man. I mean, I just had pink cheeks. And when I was born, you know, I just got these nice traits in me and that kind of thing. Apart from God, no. That's what we want to understand and grab hold of. Apart from God, apart from no grace, no. Zip. Zippo. Zip. Nothing. That's what we got to grab. I'm horrific apart from God. Not one good iota. Zero. I can prove it. I can show you videos from way, way back. I will. No, but really, that's what God is talking about with grace. That's why it's grace. That's why it's grace. It's not works. That's what God is wanting us to grab hold of and see. So when Paul understands that, when Paul sees that and he sees the struggle going on and the difficulty, and God says, the grace is sufficient. It's a divine power. In Romans 1, Paul says this. He says this, that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he had received grace and apostleship to bring about obedience of faith among the Gentiles. Now, let me read that again and let me put it into the context. Here's Paul before the grace. Hater of Christians, murdering them, thinking he's defending God by killing believers in Christ. And he has a zeal for God. He has a zeal for God's word. He thinks he's in relation with God. And then he meets Christ, and the grace of God comes upon his life. And God takes this. He said, I received God's divine favor, and he made that man an apostle. That's grace. That man, an apostle of Christ, writing all these New Testament books. What do you think he can do with you? That's what God is wanting us to see about grace. An understanding that this life is grace. It's a divine power. It is through God's divine grace poured out into your life to grant you all that you need to be all that he desires. It's a divine force. It's through Jesus Christ. Now turn your outline over. Now we're going to look at some concepts of grace. Let me ask you, this has been good so far? You've been encouraged to recognize that God's grace has been poured out in your life, hasn't it? I didn't even read the rest of Romans 1. It's incredible what it has to say. But now let's look at some concepts of grace so we can kind of connect all this together, what God is wanting us to understand. When we understand the grace of God, when we understand the what it means and how it's active in our life and what God has given to us in it, it's incredible. It's just amazing. So let's look at the idea of concepts of grace that are referred to in Scripture. First, we are lavished. All of us are in grace. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. This is probably one of my favorite passages. It's definitely one of my favorite illustrations in this passage. Turn to Ephesians 1 with me. Are you there? Grunt, moan, or whistle when you get there. Come on, I want to hear you grunt, moan, or whistle. Come on, somebody's got to go, ooh, ooh, ooh. Come on, somebody has to grunt, okay? Come on, Kevin, you can grunt for us, right? Ephesians 1, look at it with me. here we are. We're all lavished in this grace. This is what God is talking to us through the Apostle Paul. He would understand this. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. That is what he says in verse 1 and 2. He says, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Tom was talking about. They had to come up with this term. They had to come up with this understanding that they were expressing something that now, the fullness of that, they were experiencing the grace of God. Just put in there, you can put this, the divine blessing and favor of God to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Now listen to how he goes on after that. He says this, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoptions of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. That's Jesus Christ, the Beloved. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what Paul just said? The incredible statement that he just said, to the praise of the glory of God's divine favor in our life that he bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ, that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, that we've been chosen in Christ, predestined to adoption of sons and daughters of God to the recognition of God's glorious grace, that he freely bestowed upon us, divine favor bestowed upon me and you, and we didn't deserve it. That's what he just said. We're lavished in grace. I mean, it's overwhelming. Look at the next two verses. Look what he says, 7 and 8, right? He's not even done yet with what he's wanting to talk about with grace. He says this, in him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. According to the riches of God's divine favor poured out on you, and you didn't deserve it, you've been redeemed through the blood of Christ and forgiven of all your trespasses. Look at verse 8, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. God poured it on you with wisdom and insight. And this is the illustration I used when I was there, and I'll never forget this one. You ever had a big plate of biscuits and gravy? Got about three big old biscuits, about that big, right in the middle, and then they put gravy over the top of it. But they put so much over the top of it that it just runs over the sides of the plate, and you really can't even see the biscuits anymore. That's the grace of God that's been lavished on you. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're saved, that's the grace that's been poured out upon your life. It's just dripping over the sides of the plate. We need a side of sausage with that, right? A few eggs, and we're good. But no, that's what it is. That's the grace of God. You've been lavished in the grace of God. That's what Paul is wanting us to understand. That's why he wrote that. He's understanding this. We are smothered in grace. You and me were made alive and saved by grace. Here's another concept. Turn to Ephesians 2. Paul puts so much of the grace of God in the book of Ephesians for us to understand and grab hold of just what the grace of God has done in our life. Here we are. Now you and me are made alive and saved by the grace. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It starts with this, and you. My Bible, every time I get to that, I got a new Bible, been using this for a couple of months. I've already scratched out the you and wrote Ken, because it always speaks to my heart. But and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived. Paul is including himself. It's including every single one of us before we became a believer in Christ and trusted the Lord. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's defining of our Christianity, right? Of what the divine favor that was bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ. This is what we were. This is what we are. Because what God did in through Jesus Christ, by the divine favor of God, you were saved and raised up with him, verse 6, with Jesus and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So our lives in Christ, because we're in Christ, we have the fullness of Christ, but because we're in Christ, in God's view and in God's thoughts, we have been raised up and are seated with Christ in the heavenlies by grace. Verse 7, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For grace, by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one would boast. And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. By his grace, he's given us something to do after we come to faith in Christ. But it's by the grace of God that you've been saved. It's by, and he's displaying the riches of his grace through our salvation, through the divine favor bestowed upon us even when we didn't earn it. It's a complex of gracious gifts, isn't it? I'm just lightly touching it, aren't I, Pastor Tom? I mean, because when you really dig into it and you go through it and you start seeing the Word of God and how it's just, it's all the way through everything, we're to have a great grasp on the grace of God. Turn your Bibles to Romans 5. Turn your Bibles to Romans 5. Look at the, I mean, we want to have a great grasp of this because it's so impactful in our life, but God wants us to because it's all the way through everything. As I studied this, I would go, gosh, I kind of missed it there. I didn't really catch that there when I was reading through that. That's why I'm kind of highlighting and moving along and hitting it like this. For us to grab the, my grace is sufficient for you, the idea of grace, Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, look what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we're justified before the Lord because we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our induction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Do you know you stand in the grace of God if you're a believer in Christ, and you'll stand in it all the way through eternity? You stand in the grace of God. You stand in the divine favor bestowed upon you. That's what you stand in as a believer in Christ, whatever this life is. Let me help you with that. Whatever this life is, whatever challenges, whatever difficulties, whatever persecution, whatever comes your way, whatever doesn't come your way, whatever harm comes to you, whatever difficult comes to you, God says you stand in the grace of God. Well, it doesn't look like divine favor in my life. Well, we're not the determination of what divine favor looks like. God's the determination of what divine favor looks like. We would want it to work, look a lot different a lot of times. Give me an amen there. That's a good place, right? But God is the one that is saying divine favor in your life, that his grace is sufficient for you, and what is coming through your life has a plan and purpose and all of that. You need to know, I need to know, we need to have faith that in this life, I stand in divine grace. That's what I stand in. I stand in the hope from divine grace. I stand in the love from divine grace. I stand in the truth from divine grace. Bestowed upon me, look at what he says next, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. I stand in the grace of God and exalt in hope of what God has promised that awaits me. You can't take that from me. I cannot believe it. I cannot walk in it, but you can't take it away. It's a truth that's outside of whatever you think, feel, or are going through. It's a reality, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation brings about perseverance and perseverance, proven character, and proven character hope. Do you know that's by a grace of God? That as you exalt the tribulations, Lord, you're bringing them into my life, but they bring about a perseverance in my life. That's incredible, life, that I stand for you and stay faithful to you. And then you change my character, Lord, while I'm doing that. And then you bring me a hope that doesn't disappoint me because the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. That is a grace in your life. It's a grace in my life, in your life. That's what's happening. That's what God is doing by a divine favor bestowed upon you. Have I said that enough yet? That's so important. It's the realm that you live in. It's the air that you breathe. The power, divine favor, energizing everything, and we will live in that grace forever. You see, we all experience abundant grace. In Acts 4:33, Luke wrote, talking about the church, when it was beginning and all that, and he just said this, abundant grace was upon them all. Divine favor was empowering them to meet each other's needs. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, let's look at that one too. Can you tell I'm excited about it? Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3. Each of us have received a divine, abundant grace in our life. It's abundant grace. We are experiencing abundant grace. Look at 2 Peter with me. And like I said, I'm just kind of highlighting through here, not staying too long in one place. But look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. Listen to what Peter writes. He said, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kinds as ours, by the righteousness of our God and by the Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Do you want the grace of God multiplied to you? It just says in the knowledge of God, in relationship with God. If you're in relationship with God and digging into who God is and learning who He is, it's multiplied to you because you start understanding just how much you're abundant with it. If you dig in and get to and know God and seek Him and His Word and a relationship with Him, that's what Peter is saying. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. And in verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Now, let me read that and you tell me why it's there. What are we receiving in that? Seeing that His divine favor has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. What's that called? It's called grace, isn't it? Seeing by God's divine power granted to us, we have been given everything for life and godliness, pertaining to living life and to living a godly life through the true knowledge, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has granted it to us. It's called grace. It's a force in your life. It's a divine favor bestowed upon you. I know I'm kind of building on this, kind of getting over the top on all of this, but this is really how God wants us to really have an understanding here of grace, of that this is what it is. It's a divine power bestowed upon you and me, that I can walk in the Spirit, that I can know the truth of God's Word, that I can be obedient to God's Word, that I can be encouraged through the body of Christ, that I have gifts to serve each other, whatever it might be. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me did not prove in vain, but I labored even more than them all, but yet not I, them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. You see, we are who we are by grace, aren't we? Each and every one of us are we are by grace, by a divine blessing upon us, a divine concession of a great and wonderful God to bestow upon us His grace. It's a divine force. It's divine grace. It's a power in our life that works in and through your life. Next thing, for we are all gifted according to the grace. You know that's what the Bible says? We're all gifted according to the grace of God. Romans 12:6 says that. Let me read it to you. Don't turn there. It says this: since we all have gifts that differ according to the grace of God given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. So I just wrote down, so, okay, God, that means whatever I'm good at or gifted at or talented in or gifts of ministry in or service in is a grace. It's a divine favor in my life. And I'm supposed to exercise them accordingly, as a divine favor in my life. As God said here, Ken, I'm gonna give you this for the ability to use for my glory. I want you to exercise the use of that for my divine glory. I gave it to you for that. I gave it to you for you to be an encouragement or a help or a guide or to love or to hold out. I gave it to you for you to exercise that as a divine gift, as a gracious gift that I've given you. I want you to use it for my glory in that. Think about our lives. Think about our lives and all the divine gifts that God has granted to us. If you work and you have a great job and you've got a great mind and you're doing, you know, wonderful things and you've moved up to the corporate ladder and God is using that and where you're at and He's given you more than enough, He's done all of that as a divine gift to you for you to use it for the glory of God. If that's not the truth of your life, you're just somebody else in life, and it's where you're at and what you're doing, and you just have barely enough to get by. God has given you a gracious divine gift to be content and peace and at peace in the midst of that. if you got the gift to be able to be of encouragement or exhortation or teaching or love or nursery or children or whatever it might be, he gave you that as a grace gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says it's multicolored, multifaceted, that it's like a palette of color that God took and he painted you in all the different gifts that he gave you for his glory, for you to, as a gracious gift, as a divine favor in your life, for you to use for the glory of God. That's what he's talking about. We have abundant grace. We have all this gifting according to his grace. We see it that way. It's like this. Your gift is not for you, it's for me. My gift isn't for me, it's for you. That's how you see the gifts. My gift isn't for me, it's for whatever God wants to do with it. Your gift isn't for you, it's for whatever God wants to do for others in it. It's a gracious gift. That's the way we hang on to that or hold that. So in all of this, let me work through here. We are all lavished in grace, made alive and saved by grace. Our lives live in grace. We experience abundance grace. We are all gifted according to his grace. We are who we are because of his grace. In our communication, in our prayers with God, in our seeking of him, we come to the throne of grace. That would be Hebrews 4:16. God writing to people, recognizing that they need the Lord. We need to have a relationship with him. We need God. Says, hey, you know, he's been all this high priest that we have, Jesus Christ, with God, at the right hand of God. He's the high priest. He understands every weakness that we have. He understands all of our suffering. He understands everything they went through, yet without sin. He understands your weakness, your struggle, your suffering. He understands all of that. He went through it all when he was here in his humanity. Now he's our high priest. We go to him and he says this, therefore, let us draw near with the confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. There is available grace for everything. Grace is not just a concept. It's a divine power that God at all points grants to us so we can do that all that he desires. It's divine blessing to power us through our sanctification. It's divine blessing to power us through our service. It's divine blessing to power us through our suffering. Empower us. Not like we're power through my suffering. All the way to our glory or to our glorification. And the last thing in your outline, and he's giving, and he's given us the word of his grace. Now, you understand grace a little better right now. The concept of it and how it fits in. And then he says, and he's given us his word of his grace. Here's the word of God. And it's to hear it, to see it, to understand it, to apply it, to know it, to live it, to believe it, is a divine favor granted to you for your good and God's glory. I gave it to you. There it is. God said, there it is. It's the grace of God. There it is. I gave you a heart, a mind, and a life that can understand it and see it, that will desire to love me and do it, that will fight, that will want to learn it and understand it and apply it to my life. Here's what it is. It's scripture inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, so me, may be adequately equipped for every good work. Ken, that's my divine favor to you. It's John 1:16, for in this fullness we have received of grace and of truth. Ken, that's my divine favor to you. I've given you the grace of God. I'm for you. I'm there. I'm working in your life. I'm going to sustain you, encourage you, keep you, empower you, and I've given you the word, the truth of what I'm, who I am and what I'm doing in your life and what all this is about and what's coming about and what you're going to put your hope in and belief in and trust in, and you have the fullness of it right there before you in God's word and in your life. You're lavished by it. That's amazing, isn't it? So before we close here, what's the conclusion? I got a minute and a half. Well, I can go off forever. You guys would be okay with that, right? You guys give me grace, right? No, I'm just teasing. What's the conclusion? When you hear all of this, and we talk about all of this, and we look at it in here, and we're in this, that my grace is sufficient for you. Any of you come to a conclusion, then how come it's kind of not active in my life? Anybody like me, when I went through all of this, said, man, what's the conclusion here, Lord? How come this is so good, so great, so wonderful, and here in my life, but man, I have all these, I have struggles, I have difficulties, I'm challenged here. What's my part, Lord? If all of it's a grace and it's at work in my life, what's my part? He used the passage to tell me. He said, one simple thing, Ken, humility. You, in some parts of your heart and mind, in some parts of your life, you think it's you. But God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you recognize that your sufficiency is from God, that your adequacy is from God, that your gifting is from God, that your very saved life is from God, and that you are lavished in the grace of God and will dwell in grace for all of your life here and in eternity because of divine favor bestowed upon you and you didn't deserve it, there's no place for pride. And that's what God was showing me, is that you can, in my relationship with God, have to deal with my own heart and in my own pride, and in my non-humility, to not acknowledge in my heart, it's all you, Lord. It's always been all you. To be empowered by grace, to have God's power work in and through your life, listen to what he said. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. It's always been there. Humility is the key. James 4:10, humble yourself in the presence of the Lord and he'll exalt you. And it's always been his grace. And so God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. My power is perfected in weakness through your life. So Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness. You know what he said? Okay, Lord, I get it. I'll be humble. I'll walk in humility. I'll boast about that it's not my strength, it's you. I'll boast that it's the work of the Lord in my life. It's always been the work of the Lord in my life. It's always been the grace of God in my life. It's never been me. It's always been him. I'll boast about when I can't do this and I don't have the gifts to do that and that's not what I want to do and all of that. I'll just boast about that it's, but God, because so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What hinders the grace in our life, I would just say, is pride. What activates it for us to understand, in a sense, and for us to live in it, is humility. That's our part in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your word this morning to us. For the opportunity you've given us to be here today, for us to gather and encourage each other, and for us to say hi to each other, to think about each other, to pray, to serve each other, to those that are working in the nursery, to welcome some people here that are visiting today, all that you've given us to do, to worship you, to pray, to just enjoy you today, Lord, and hear from you and your word about the incredible grace that has been bestowed upon us. We're privileged, not because of who we are, but because of what you've done and who you are. None of us deserve it. We know that. We acknowledge this as a concept. Lord, help us to acknowledge it as a force in our life, as a power that's in our life from Jesus Christ through faith in him that you've brought into our life, that we know that your grace is more than enough. Christ is more than enough. And then help us, each and every one of us, wherever we're at, whatever that is in our life, for us to just recognize that you give a greater grace to those that are humble. Let's try to figure what that means when we've had more than enough. But help us, Lord, to humbly walk in this life, thankful and grateful for all that you've given, and use it as a gracious gift given to us, this life that you've given, all of it, every single part of it, as a divine blessing bestowed upon us. Let's embrace it in that way and walk humbly in it that way I know we'll be filled more with your love and your joy and your peace and your contentment that come from Christ. I know it will be. Because that's what your word says it is. So we give you praise and thank you for this day, this word to us, for the life we have. In your Lord's name we pray, amen. We are dismissed for the day.